Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Kindred Spirit Show on HealthyLife.net. I am Lynn Andrews, and my show is on the fourth Tuesday of every month at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. As a shaman, author, teacher, and lecturer, I have a very special vision of the people I invite to join us. I see their beauty and accomplishments in a very sacred way, these beautiful guests. They are creators of wisdom and knowledge and share their experiences with the world community. We appreciate their work and celebrate their value to all of us. Today we have an extraordinary woman, Dr. Dravon James, and she is an inspirational speaker, radio host, and author of Freedom is Your Birthright. She is the founder of Everyday Peace, a platform for her to help and inspire others to build the life of their dreams. Using her successful pharmacist skills, she brings light into others' lives by sharing her Everyday Peace message. She also hosts her own weekly radio show, Everyday Peace, on Unity Radio. So, without further ado, I would like to say hello to Dr. Dravon James and welcome her to our show.
Thank you. Hello, right back. I'm excited to be with you today.
Dravon, this is quite wonderful. You've written an incredible book about freedom being your birthright. And your journey began in poverty on the south side of Chicago, though you'd always dreamt of a career on the stage. You went into pharmacology instead and have a doctorate from Creighton University. After reading Norman Vincent Peale's The Power of Positive Thinking in college, she went on to make a lifelong study of the power that we all have to create the life that we want. And I would like Dr. Dravon James, if you could expound on that just a little bit for us.
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, so, you know, it's a little bit earlier than that. I was actually the summer before I went to college. My brother, who's a year younger than me, gave me as a gift The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale. And I actually read that book, oh my gosh, I don't know, maybe six or seven times before I left for college. And I was really touched by it. I knew that whatever Norman Vincent Peale did in that book for me was what I wanted to do for other people. And that was to awaken in me the knowledge that I was extremely powerful, just as I was that day, and that my life and what it would become was up to me. There was no circumstance, no anything that could really derail me except for me and the way I perceived the world. And so I always had a spirit of wanting to help people, and I was going to college I actually was pharmacy pre-med, and I knew I wanted to help people, but that book changed how I wanted to help people. I knew that it was beyond the physical body. I really wanted to do something with awakening them to them. So I went on, I had made a commitment, I went on to pharmacy school, and obviously didn't go on to medical school, but I did go on to get my doctorate degree in pharmacy. But throughout the entire experience, I kept studying everything I could get my hands on that I thought related to peace. Now, here's the funny thing. Way back then, I was age 17. I thought, well, what I'm going to discover from all this research is how to have a life without problems. Now, mind you, I didn't
know anybody. How to have what?
A life without problems.
Oh, that. Yes, indeed.
I was 17, and of course I didn't know anybody who had that life, but I thought I was going to figure it out. What I did figure out in all of that research was how to have a beautiful life no matter what shows up in it. And that's what I like to share with people.
Well, that's a fantastic thought for sure. You talk about stress, and is stress something that you should try and avoid? Most of us think that it's something that will end up killing you if you don't take care of the roots of that stress.
Well, I love that question about stress and trying to avoid it. And having been a practicing clinician for 30 years now, I, too, sit with patients and say, hey, talk about your stress level. And you definitely want to do those things that are intelligent when it comes to stress, not bringing more unnecessary stress into your life. But here is the thing that we all know is that we can never get rid of stress altogether. And then, on top of that, not all stress is bad. If you're having a baby, that can be stressful. It's going to be good, but it's stressful. You're planning a wedding or a big party, very stressful. We're getting ready to move into the holiday season. And all of that cooking and gift buying and all the family and friends can create stress. It doesn't mean that it's negative stress, but it is stress the same. So where I like to concentrate is on how do we handle stress. Because you're right. Stress can be a killer. If we don't know how to handle it, what to think about these things that show up and cause this increase in cortisol levels in our body, what do we do with that? And I really look at stress, the increase of cortisol levels, as a way of our body loving on us and saying, hey, there's something happening in this moment right now that requires your attention. It's like a love tap, if you will. It's really knocking on the door to get your attention, for you to become more aware of you and what you need in that moment. We ignore that tap quite frequently, and that's where we get into trouble.
When you say cortisol levels, there might be some people on the show who don't know what exactly cortisol is. Can you describe it?
Yes, so cortisol is a stress hormone in the body, and the most common example, as you'll hear, is that if we were still living in the age of the caveman and cavewoman, we would be one day just, you know, going about our life, and then we may come upon a den of wolves or a tiger or something of that nature, and we know we have to defend ourselves. But our body is using all of our resources to do whatever the lovely things we're doing. It stops right then, and it sends a signal to our brain that we are in danger and that all of the resources within our body need to go to protect our physical being to keep us safe. And that's called cortisol. That's a hormone that rises in the body that increases the heart rate, sharpens the senses that are needed, your sense of sight and your smell and running. You can do all of these things. And it creates what we call a flight, a fright, freeze. Sometimes, you know, you get in motion, you become frightened to the point where you can't move sometimes, but cortisol is driving that. It's a hormone in the body that says, what do I need to do right now to protect myself in this time of danger? And of course, that cortisol level in that exact moment while that lion or that wolf or that bear is chasing you is so necessary to help you get away and get to safety. But unfortunately, or fortunately, in our modern society, we're not being chased by bears, lions, or wolves, but we do have things that scare us just the same. You know, debt or you know, some problems may be happening on your job, or you may have some health concerns, or maybe a relationship, a divorce. Those things are quite scary, and they, guess what? They cause the same spike in cortisol. But there's no bear to go away, because you can live in this state of fear and panic for long periods of time because the bear doesn't go away. The job problem or the health problem or the relationship problem lingers and lingers and lingers. And that's when the cortisol has an opposite effect on the body. It becomes detrimental to the body. And because we're living in these times here, we have to understand, oh, let me be aware of what's happening to me now and let me readjust. So that,
you know,
cortisol is helpful, but it can be harmful.
Yeah, I'm sure. Anything, well, I'd like to ask you something. We live in a country where freedom is our birthright, correct?
Yes.
And it's one of the most extraordinary gifts that can ever be. And I think often of how each and every one of us, like in the ancient myth of in Greece, about Ariadne, Theseus, and the Minotaur. And the whole point of that myth is about taking the chance, the risk, to move into the darkness of a labyrinth, not knowing where you are actually going, and coming upon the Minotaur, which is a monster that tries to kill you. And then, because Ariadne has given Theseus a thread, Theseus takes that thread all the way into the labyrinth where she goes, and finally when the Minotaur is approached, she slays the Minotaur and follows the thread back out to freedom. And when you talk about stress being, something that comes up in all of our lives, one way or another, to me in a way, that stress can be the Minotaur that you find at the labyrinth, inside the labyrinth of your own wisdom, your own tracking into life, say, for success or relationships and so forth. Can you talk about that with me just for a minute?
Oh, my goodness. You know, now that's the first time I've heard that tale with that kind of detail. Not the first time I've heard that type of story, but that was just a beautiful, beautiful story, and I absolutely love it. And I do see the idea of stress and all of that as you meet yourself. You go through this journey, and you get to this point where you face stress, and then the idea of having to find that thread to move yourself back to the point of peace, the point of
peace. Yeah, that place of empowerment within you. I think that fear that we are perhaps not good enough, I think women, don't you think, face that
yes,
as much as anyone, although men certainly face it as well. But I think women are born one down, maybe. And so for them to stick their head above the crowd, to go into the labyrinth, to make that choice to be successful, is a huge commitment, and you become a great warrior in that process. What do you feel about that?
That is, I just listen to you say this. It sounds so poetic and so accurate, because that is the journey, isn't it? It is that we go to this point and we meet this place, and you know, maybe if we are aware and conscious enough, we'll meet our higher self there as well, too, because we come face to face with what we're now calling today stress, and this moment where we have a decision, don't we? We have this decision to stand and use this moment to strengthen us on our journey.
Yes.
Or we also are free to, in this moment, linger in this place of stress, and this is where you talked about a little bit earlier, where stress is a killer. We also have the option, we're free to take this moment and just say, it's very stressful, and choose just to remain there in that place of highly stressed, not choosing it for growth opportunity, but just choosing it just to be there. And some of us, you know, I just was talking with someone talking about our nature to complain, and there is a certain joy and satisfaction we get out of that. But that's when we linger in that place and we do harm to our physical self. That's when you have stress causing increase in your blood pressure and, you know, sleep rhythms and all of those things. But when you stand in that place and you say, I do have a thread, I have a way, a pathway that I subconsciously know that if I face this on, if I adopt some patterns and some ways of behaving in this moment, will calm me down, decrease my cortisol levels so that my sense of self and direction will become more clear. I then, in that moment, will be able to use that thread and travel right back to my safe place and not allow fear, false evidence appearing real, to overtake me in this moment.
Yes. And you have a way of teaching people how to lower their stress?
Yeah, well,
can you tell us about that?
Yes, I would love to. And so I'd like to say this, is that, you know, rain falls on the just and the unjust, right? You can be so prepared, you know, with your life, and then all of a sudden you find that your tire has gone flat in the middle of the highway. Or, you know, in my own life, you find yourself facing some, you know, really huge crises with the loss of children and things of nature like that, and you say to yourself, my goodness, these things are very, very painful, very, very stressful. And then it could be small things, you know, stuck in traffic, whatever it is. The point of the matter is that in this moment, there are things that we can do to help us to manage our response to the external world and thereby put
up more... Okay, what are those things?
So the first thing is awareness, right? To become aware of what your state is right now is a big step. Most people don't know when they're frustrated, when they're angry, when they're just when they've had what I call the thing that was the tipping thing. It's, oh my gosh, I'm at the beginning of getting aggravated. They don't realize they're aggravated until they're at, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10, they're at 9. When you become very self-aware, you realize, oh, right there, something is a little off. Right there, in that moment right there. I didn't, for some reason, appreciate this or like that. When you become aware of yourself in a moment, you give yourself permission to love on yourself and say, it's okay. You're still safe. And it's okay that you had that emotion. No shame, no guilt, no condemnation in that moment of awareness. So practicing awareness means just being still. And then for a lot of people, that's difficult to be still in our fast-paced society. So what I tell people is to do what I call a scan, you know, ego scan or a life scan, however you want. And I ask myself three questions. How are things going in my health right now? So, oh, well, I'm a little hungry. Okay. Well, that can lead to a major stress if you haven't taken care of a physical need. How are things going in my relationship category? Well, my boss just yelled at me, and that has me a little tense. Okay, we can deal with that. You're still safe. We breathe through that. How are things going in my finances right now? Oh, my goodness. I just got a notice that, you know, a certain bill is due, and that's got me aggravated. I do these. I call them the big three scan. Health, wealth, and relationships.
The big what?
The big three. It's called my triangle model. So health, wealth, and relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So to scan those areas for awareness, increasing your awareness of where you are right now. That's the number one thing that you can do. Second thing you can do is to accept without shame, guilt, or condemnation what you are feeling in this moment. That is the most loving thing that you can do for yourself without excuse. You know, you don't, people get, oh, I shouldn't be angry. A lot of times women are afraid to be angry. We've been taught that we must always be in a happy state. We cannot be angry. That's not real. We get angry just as angry as anybody else. It doesn't mean that we have to act on those angry things. In fact, we'll find that we don't really need to act on them if we will allow ourselves to be aware and accept ourselves in that moment. That's all the ego is looking for. You just accept me as I am right now. I am angry. This is why. Okay. You're still safe. I still love you. That self-talk in that moment right then. And then thirdly, is to ask yourself to surrender. Because we want to go straight to solution. We are aware of it. We want to go straight into solution. Surrender to that for a moment. Just be still in that. and let an answer or a next move come to you. Don't force it. Let it come to you. That decreases stress right there. Because it's very stressful to say that I'm angry because of this and I feel like I have to fix that. No, you don't have to fix that. Not in this moment. You have to
fix that. And maybe you cannot fix it. You know, Draven, I find that in all of these things that we're talking about stress and so forth, I think when you have a country that is losing, it seems to be at least, losing its belief in some sort of God, whether it's religion or spirituality or shamanism or whatever, I think when you lose your faith, then the issues of everyday life become so magnified because we don't see the bigger picture of why you're on this earth to begin with. You're here in a schoolhouse, in my way of thinking, a schoolhouse to learn and to develop aspects of your soul that need to be strengthened. When we come back after station identification, Draven, can we talk about that?
Absolutely. I would love to.
Tap into ancient shamanic wisdom when you become an apprentice at Lynn Andrews Shaman Mystery School. You'll learn how to move, work, and flow with the universe as you free yourself from your past perceptions that are holding you back from reaching your highest potential. Within this unique training, you'll be welcomed into a sacred community of kindred spirits that will support you on your journey to discover the mysteries of life. This four-year course is even eligible for college credit. Visit LynnAndrews.com and click on Study with Lynn, the Shaman Mystery School.
There is a book inside you waiting to be born. You know it, you feel it, you may even be writing it. But now there is a shamanic way to enter into the power and mystery of your own writing spirit. New York Times bestselling author Lynn Andrews has designed a program using writing as a sacred shamanic tool to help you navigate the waters of your own words and discover what suits your creative soul. Start your journey to becoming a published author today. Visit LynnAndrews.com and click on Study with Lynn, Writing Spirit, the school.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
I was talking with Dr. Draven James, who has written a wonderful book called Freedom is Your Birthright. To me, and I was asking Draven what she felt about this. To me, when stress becomes so prominent in your life, there's an aspect of your, maybe it's your culture, maybe it's just something about your education, but people lose faith if, in fact, they've ever received that gift. And faith is what gives us the bigger picture. You realize that, wait a minute, yes, I'm feeling stress over here, but I need to get over it and find a way to act rather than to react in the process of stress. What do you feel about that, Draven?
Oh, I absolutely love what you're saying, and I agree. You said also that, you know, this life's journey is a schoolhouse. We've come here to learn, right? And so that we know that we learn our biggest lessons we learn when we're in the valley, right? When you're on the mountaintop, you're having a great time and you're in a celebratory mood. And many of us don't do a lot of learning in that celebratory state, but when we're in the valley, well, you know, all senses are keen and we're in a learning position and we're learning all of the time. And when you were talking, this example came from my own life. about how we see things and we have faith. And so it is at different levels, too. I want to be very clear with our listeners that there is no shame, no guilt, no condemnation. Wherever you stand in your faith and in your belief and in your processing of stress, the point is to become aware and accept yourself and love on yourself in that space. So my own personal journey with this is that I have a 16-year-old whom I absolutely love, and he was in a very stressful position yesterday, which continued today, because I said to him, well, because of certain things that are going on, I'm going to pull you from the track team at least for a couple weeks, and you'll have to get yourself together, and then we'll revisit it. And he had a moment in that space, because that's stressful to say, for someone to say, you love doing this, and now this is being denied. And we all can realize that and appreciate that as adults. We may love being in a certain job or need a certain job, and you lose your job, or you love a certain relationship, you go through a divorce or a breakup, and, you know, of course, we all love being healthy, and then something happened to our health. So something that we've attached to has been temporarily, or maybe it seems permanently, removed from our presence. What do we do in that moment? Well, that's a valley life experience. That's being in the valley. And some valleys we've already been in that terrain, so we can be advisors on that. And that's the position I found myself in with my son this morning as we talked, and I talked to him about navigating this sense of loss. Right? And so we have to realize that we all are equipped. Maybe the valley for some person, maybe you haven't been through this issue before, but you can look back in your life and see, oh, I have been in the valley before. I have been there before. And so I know what I learned when I was there before. What I've learned is that faith in the solution and not faith in the problem. You know, faith is wherever you put your focus, putting your focus on the solution. Sometimes the only solution is quiet observation. Because
but it made me think of something. Drayvon, how can you identify your stress triggers?
With awareness, and this takes time and patience. The one thing that I have learned in my own life and with working with people is that we don't know a lot about ourselves. We know a lot about sports teams and entertainers and things that, and politicians. We don't know ourselves as well as we should. Meaning this, as I gave this example earlier, realizing when you first get triggered, not when you're at stage 8 or 9 or 10 out of a scale of 1 to 10, but when that first feather touch hits you and you realize, oh, now that made me feel something that was uncomfortable. And that just takes awareness. It's not something that's just going to happen overnight. What I encourage people to do is to practice deep breathing often. And I had a person on my show called the Breath Master a couple weeks ago, and he gave this wonderful breathing technique that I love to share, which really helps to settle you in the moment and become aware of your presence right then and there. And that is just by gently placing the tip of your tongue at the roof of your mouth and gently curling it backwards and letting your body take an inhale, your belly expand. When you get fully inhaled, dropping your tongue to the bottom of your mouth and letting your bottom jaw drop open, and exhaling. In that space, it puts you in the now. And simply ask yourself, how am I feeling? What am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? How am I feeling? What am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? Very simple, simplistic questions, a simplistic technique that will give you very, very good insight to yourself if practiced frequently and for some time. Always being gentle with ourselves, and allowing ourselves to go through our processes at our pace. That's how you become aware of yourself. It's very gentle, but it does need to be persistent. Constantly asking yourself the question that you would ask, and I love this example, when I had small children, they'd come home from school after, and I'd rub them on the back. I'd say, how was your day? And I'd wait. I'd just wait for one thing to, you know, if the first answer, everything was fine. But if you wait long enough, oh, well, the teacher said this. Well, how'd that make you feel? And the first response is, oh, I don't care. But if you wait long enough, I don't like it when she puts me on the spot like that. All the kids are looking at me. We are that same person. We are that little person. That person exists inside of us. You know, how did it make you feel when the person was blaring their horn behind you and you were lost and you're trying to get your bearings on this very busy road that you've never been on before? Don't just brush over that moment. Become aware of what's happening in yourself. Not that we're going to respond to every little thing, but we're going to be loving and kind to ourselves through that and say, I see you. I love you. You're still safe. We can let that go. That's how we become aware of ourselves.
Well, I think it's important in something like that, Draymond, is also to ask, why am I feeling this extraordinary, say you're really angry about something. Something happened, and maybe you overreact, and you're thinking about it, and saying, my God, you know, this is causing me a terrible amount of stress, and why is it that I feel this? And you take, if you're lucky, I think, you take this feeling, and you explore when you have had this feeling of anger before, trace it all the way back into your childhood. What happened if you got angry as a child? Who was it in your childhood experience that expressed anger in such a way and it scared you or it made you feel lesser or disempowered? If you can follow those thoughts back, then I think... Don't you, I mean, I'm kind of asking you, Draymond, don't you think that would affect how you experience stress?
Oh, yes. Yes, you are spot on. Absolutely. Because you see, we are that same little person that I mentioned that walks in from school. We are that person. That person still exists inside of us. And we can trace it all the way back. And I talked to someone, oh, my gosh. And they told me about, Ethan, you can trace this stuff back to your ancestors and say, this is part of me because my ancestors went through this. And some, a great aunt or a great uncle. And these experiences are part of our fiber.
Yes. And, Draymond, forgive me. I have to interrupt you for station identification. We'll be right back.
When you go to Lynn Andrews' website, lynnandrews.com, your journey into the shamanic world begins. You'll be able to find out more about Lynn, her events, multiple study courses, and her online store, which is filled with a plethora of tools and resources. At lynnandrews.com, you can sign up for a free in-spirit monthly newsletter. You can even listen to past interviews and podcasts or watch videos. So visit lynnandrews.com. You'll be glad you did. lynnandrews.com.
Lynn Andrews is the best-selling author of the Medicine Woman series, which chronicles her 3 decades of study and work with shaman healers on 4 continents. Passed down from generation to generation, her teachings have been practiced, guarded, and handed down for almost 5,000 years. Now with a private 1-hour session with Lynn, you can get answers to the things that haunt you. Imagine having Lynn's ancient knowledge, wisdom, and power on your side. It's easy to schedule a private session with Lynn. You can even book online. Visit lynnandrews.com and click on Private Session with Lynn.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Draymond, James, and Draymond, in what ways can someone shift from thinking that stress is a bad thing?
Oh, that is a wonderful, wonderful question. And in fact, I talk a lot about that shifting perspective in my book. And the first thing we have to say is this. And this is something that I teach with Everyday Peace with Dr. Draymond James, is that everything that shows up in your life, the good, the bad, and the in-between, has shown up with only one purpose. And that purpose is to bow down and serve you as you go about the creating of the life of your dreams. So that means that if stress shows up in your life, and we're using that model as the cornerstone of our principle, and saying, well, then if stress showed up, stress must be showing up to bow down and serve me as I create the life of my dreams. And I do believe that. So then the perspective that I would say on stress is this, as I said in the beginning earlier, is that when stress occurs, it's occurring to get my attention. When I start to feel that, whatever it is for most people, for me, I'm a clencher. So I'll start to notice that my hands are clenched, or maybe I'm clenching my jaw. Right? That's a sign of protection. I'm trying to protect myself, right? And I release and say, okay, what is it that's happening either externally or internally that's causing me this stress? Because my body is working for me in favor of me and saying, Drayvon, in this moment, you need to shift. I need you to shift your awareness, maybe even shift your conversation, maybe even shift your environment. Something needs to shift. Please pay close attention. That's why I've caused these uncomfortable feelings for you. Maybe you get a tension headache. Maybe your heart is pacing. Maybe you get overcome with anxiety. I'm asking you to pay attention. Something needs to be tweaked in this moment. And guess what? Not all the time can I change my environment. If I'm in a work situation and maybe that's causing me stress, but what I can do is go and practice a breathing technique to turn my attention on what I, in this body, need in this moment. So really, stress is coming to say to you, something is off just a little bit here. Or maybe a lot, but something is off, and I need your attention so we can address it. I don't want you to push past this. I want you to deal with this either by slowing down, or maybe some people, I work in healthcare for 30 years, people go long periods of time without even taking a bathroom break or eating food, and your body is saying, I'm extremely stressed, I need you to slow down. I need you to take care of some physiological things so that I can get back to peak performance.
Yes. So, how can we explore the idea of changing our perception of stress? And that kind of goes along with thinking stress is a bad thing. How would you talk about that just for a moment, the perception of stress?
Yeah, and I wanted to say there's a wonderful book out written by a woman called Lavinia Bronson Arnold called Shifting Your Perspective. Shifting Your Perspective. I had her on my show a while back, and I love that because that's what we're asking people to do. We're asking you to swim in the opposite direction of the culture, if you will, because it's so easy. It's almost like a buzz phrase to say, oh, I'm so stressed. And then that throws your body into a state. Just you using I am and the word stress behind it is a trigger to your body to say, oh, you want to be stressed. You want more stress because that which we focus on, we draw more of that into our space. So it's becoming aware of a lot of things. And one is putting our attention on that which we want to create as a reality in our life and not so much attention on what we believe is a current reality in our life. That's a mindset. But I tell people, when I sit with people all day long, patients, and when I talk about stress, I say to them this. If they're getting medication for stress or they're going through therapy for stress, that stress, things that cause stress, unwanted circumstances, will continue to occur in all of our lives, unexpected and unwanted circumstances. We must choose to view them as you said earlier, learning experiences that we're always in school. We're always in school. You don't have to be an honor roll, straight A student. You just need to be aware that we are in school. And at the end of whatever the stressful situation is, you will be wiser. Be patient and kind with yourself. That is the most fundamental, simple first step, is to have the realization that from this experience, I will be wiser. I will grow. That right there is a subtle shift in perspective. It's saying, oh, I am stressed. this is happening. We don't wish to deny any of those things. Right? You get fired from your job, very, very stressful. You go through a divorce, very, very stressful. You get diagnosed with some type of illness, very stressful. We don't want you to deny that. We want you to acknowledge it. So, yes, this is stressful.
You know,
this is stressful.
You know what? I'm interrupting you again because we just have so little time. I would like to create a sacred wheel with you. This is something that is an ancient process. You just draw a circle, and north is spirit, south is physical, and west, on the left, is emotion, and on the right is east, mind, simplistically. So you have stress. And you want to understand your stress. Because usually when you have a great deal of stress, you have the faintest idea where in the heck this is coming from. Why, you know, you're just trying to get through it. So let's say, name a stress that people usually have, Draven.
Just relationship stress, or we could do money.
Okay. Which one? Okay, money. Or let's take a relationship. You want which one?
Let's do relationship.
Okay. And you look at the sacred wheel, and you think, okay, I am stressed. Oh, and you're sitting in the center of the wheel, and symbolically, obviously. So you look to the south, to physical, and you think, okay, in my relationship, what is it that is physically upsetting me? And you might say, what would you say a typical thing would be?
So let's use a love relationship. So the thing that's physically upsetting you in this relationship could be maybe a lack of empathy from the other individual. Would that be something?
Lack of empathy.
Well, maybe that's more
empathy.
Maybe we could say lack of time spent together.
Empathy and time. Okay. Understood. Now you go up to the west. And that's the sacred dream. How is this relationship fitting into my dream or not? What would you say there?
Oh, this is exciting. So how is this relationship fitting into my dream? And let's say that you've always dreamed of having, of being married.
Yeah, but what, you're already married, say.
Right. Let's just say you already dreamed of being, having longevity and without divorce, maybe that?
Well, this is a problem that we're trying to deal with. So in your relationship.
Okay.
What is happening that doesn't fit, maybe, your sacred dream?
Oh, that doesn't fit in your sacred dream. Let's see, the problem that doesn't fit in your sacred dream is that you've married someone who is maybe unstable, maybe they're unstable in their finances.
In finances, okay. And then we'll go the rest of the wheel when we come back after station identification.
There is a book inside you waiting to be born. You know it, you feel it, you may even be writing it. But now there is a shamanic way to enter into the power and mystery of your own writing spirit. New York Times bestselling author Lynn Andrews has designed a program using writing as a sacred shamanic tool to help you navigate the waters of your own words and discover what suits your creative soul. Start your journey to becoming a published author today. Visit LynnAndrews.com and click on Study with Lynn, Writing Spirit, the School.
Lynn Andrews is the best-selling author of the Medicine Woman series, which chronicles her 3 decades of study and work with shaman healers on 4 continents. Passed down from generation to generation, her teachings have been practiced, guarded, and handed down for almost 5,000 years. Now with a private 1-hour session with Lynn, you can get answers to the things that haunt you. Imagine having Lynn's ancient knowledge, wisdom, and power on your side. It's easy to schedule a private session with Lynn. You can even book online. Visit LynnAndrews.com and click on Private Session with Lynn.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And to continue, Drayvon, with this sacred wheel, in the north of this wheel, spirit, how about the spiritual aspect of this relationship?
So again, just so that I'm clear, this is saying what part of this relationship does not fit in with this, my spiritual needs and my
yes.
is that what we're
yes.
saying? So let's just
yes.
say that the spouse that you've chosen does not worship a higher power.
Doesn't believe in God.
Right. It does not believe in God or a higher power. Doesn't have a relationship with a higher power.
Okay, and then we go around the wheel to the east, which is mind. And that would be you meet with your higher consciousness, the old medicine man, medicine woman, who is telling you what they think about all of this on the wheel. What is it rational? Rationally, what can you do about this relationship? And so what is wrong with this relationship in terms of mind and rationale?
Wow, okay, so what is wrong with this relationship in terms of mind and rationale? Question, does the mind take into account the physical, the emotion, and the spirit?
Oh, yes, of course.
Okay, so then at this point, and I have to say that I'm enjoying this exercise, at this point, I would think the mind would be saying that we're maybe in deep trouble here because we have an opportunity, but we also have a situation where we're in a relationship where three out of three of our very important categories are not being fit.
Right.
So what do we?
So
what? What do we do?
Our mind is saying, "You're in big trouble."
Right.
But what else?
So, right. So the point of is perhaps at this point the mind would say we either seek we seek counsel. This is beyond the two of us at this point. We need to seek help.
Okay, a mediator.
Yes.
Okay. Let's say that's already been done. Then what? It didn't work because one of the couple doesn't want to go.
Then I believe the mind would have to say rationally that it is okay at this point to make the decision for peace all around, for us all to be living in our most whole state, that perhaps at this point we need space to reassess our own individual dreams, our own individual goals, to see if collectively we need to be together.
They shouldn't be together. I'm missing you there.
Right. They should be together. Well, they need space to reevaluate themselves individually to find out if this mate is fitting into what your model of a successful relationship is. So I would think space would be required. Not saying divorce, but maybe some space, some separation for some time.
Okay. So here we are in a relationship. Physically, lack of empathy and time. Then you go to the West, sacred dream, your emotions, and it's an unstable in finances, which is causing a lot of trouble. In the North, one of you does not believe in God and the other does. Then you go to the east and you ask the mind, oh, my God, you know, and what am I to do here? And mind says, you are in big trouble, But I think you need a mediator, somebody to help you discuss things and reevaluate. Maybe this is a time when you need to think of space. Not a divorce, but just space, so that the two of you can reevaluate your positions. Okay? Does that sound right to you?
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. You know, we always use the sacred wheel, whatever it is in our life. You know, south physical, the west is emotion, sacred dream, the north is inspiration and spirit, and the east is mind and rationale, you know, essentially. Okay. There was another question. Why your current coping strategies from thinking stress is a bad thing? How would you, well, we talked about this a bit, of changing your perception. Is it possible that why your current coping strategies for dealing with stress have left you anxious and feeling incomplete? Can you talk about that?
Yes, and I love this, the sacred wheel. That was my first experience having it explained that way. But your current coping mechanisms can be increasing your stress level, because usually the current coping mechanisms are so focused on the problem. So whatever we put our time and attention and our mind on, we draw more of that energy source into our life. So that current coping mechanisms, by saying, this is wrong, let me focus more all my attention on this is wrong. And it seems almost like counterintuitive, if you will, to say, okay, I understand, I am aware that this is wrong. I've done my body scan, I know what's wrong. I am now going to shift my attention away from what is wrong to what is working. What is working for me in this moment? That subtle shift, yet it is kind of, if you really look at what we do as a culture, it is a really big shift for us sometimes to take our mind off what is wrong. But that shift of focus creates a shift in energies. And that shift in energies brings about a solution almost organically, maybe not to the problem, but to the stressful state within yourself.
Absolutely. Right?
Because, yeah.
And on the sacred wheel, when you reach the east and you talk to the old wise one that lives in the east on the wheel, you would see that maybe you should make a list. What's wrong? What's working? And change your focus. That's a really good point. How do you change your focus? How do you change your focus?
Changing focus takes willpower, because we're always drawn. Right? It's like driving past an accident on the highway, right? And everyone's rubbernecking and they want to see. But then you say to yourself, you know, I'm going to whisper a prayer of success and safety for whomever's in that accident, but I'm going to keep my eyes straight ahead because rescue vehicles are already there. I'm going to keep my eyes straight ahead. That's a discipline in self. That's becoming aware and making a conscious decision. And that's the same thing that has to happen with focus, which is why it's so necessary that we do our deep breathing, that we go through our awareness and our acceptance and our surrendering and our breathing. And then to say, what is it in this moment that I am grateful for? Grateful for. That's a shift in focus and energy right there. In this moment, what am I grateful for?
Well, I think that would be a great thing on the east in the wheel. Don't you?
I do. I do, yes. Yes.
Because that changes your focus. It changes the feeling that you're having with feeling depressed, feeling all of these fears. Suddenly, instead of moving inside of yourself, you're moving outside. You're pushing out with gratefulness. Just but you're changing your frequency.
Yes. Yes, you have just changed the station, if you will, your radio station. You've just changed the frequency, so now you're listening, if you will, to a different beat. Like
yes.
You're moving in a different energetic pattern.
Right. And I think by going in around the wheel, you begin to think differently about stress, about the problem that you're facing, you know?
Yes, you do. You do. And that's really the whole idea behind this, is to, because it all is a personal journey, a personal story. It is how you perceive this.
Right.
It's all perception.
Yes. And I think you have given people an extraordinary gift. Because as far as I can see, most people in the world do not believe that they can change their stress. They forget that they are responsible for the reality that they create in their lives. We are responsible for our environment, for our relationships. We're responsible for it all. Even wars across the world, you have some effect on all the negative things and all the positive things. You are a creator in your own right. So it behooves you to straighten up, go around the sacred wheel, read your fabulous book on stress, Freedom is Your Birthright, and the founder of Everyday Peace, Dr. Drayvon James, is extraordinary in giving you such a gift in the publishing of this book. And, Drayvon, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show and for extending your wisdom to the world community. What a great effort and a great gift. That is, and you are, to all of us.
Thank you so very much for saying those kind words, but I really want to thank you for making this platform available. This is wonderful work that you're doing.
Oh, well, thank you. We're all different cogs in the wheel, aren't we?
We are indeed. We are indeed. Yes. There are no extra people, but we're all doing our part, and you're doing a wonderful service.
Yeah, well, you too, sweetheart. I think you're fabulous, and I hope we meet one day.
I do too. This is just, I wrote down the sacred wheel. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Oh, honey, you're so welcome. Call me if you want to talk about that. And we have to end the show now. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You're fabulous and wonderful. And take a look at your own bodies and your own consciousness and try to take the stress and put it on the sacred wheel. Read Drayvon's book and let's do something about stress. You don't need that stress anymore. Let's act instead of react. I love you all. You're beautiful. And Drayvon, thank you again. Namaste.
Thank you.